On a prior podcast, John and I were talking about retirement questions that every generation is asking. And we talked about baby boomers the first go around. Well, on this episode, we're going to follow up with Gen Xers. So stay tuned here to Middle Class Millionaire.
Becoming a millionaire isn't just about growing your money. It's also about protecting and preserving your wealth by using the right financial strategies for your situation. Welcome. This is Middle Class Millionaire with John Choi. John has his Master's of Science in Financial Services and is a certified financial planner and the president of Epiphany Capital.
Everybody, welcome into the podcast. John Choi and myself here to talk about investing, finance, and retirement, and asking those questions that we need to ask by generation. Different life events, different needs, different things going on. And we did a topic a couple of weeks ago on baby boomers and kind of did that set. This go around, as I mentioned in the tease, we're going to talk Gen X. And, you know, John, I think they slide these numbers around based on what they feel like, because this current thing I've got pulled up says Gen X is 1965 to 1976, which A, is not even 20 years. it's only 11 years. And I thought a generation was 20. But it did used to be 65 to like 83. So I don't know what they're doing. I think they just changed this stuff to suit whatever kind of statistics they want to make. But either way, we're going to talk about Gen Xers this week, which is what I am and what you are. How you doing, my friend?
Good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, but I'm happy to be a Gen Xer. I don't know about you, but I like being where I'm at.
It's the best generation. Come on.
I know, right? We were raised in the 70s, teens in the 80s, 20s in the 90s. Good stuff.
We had the best music in the 80s, right?
Exactly. 70s, 80s, and 90s, in my opinion, but yeah.
I like what they said. You know, I'm glad I did all my stupid stuff before, you know, cell phones and video things.
The smartphone. Yeah, I'm with you there. Yeah. I'm with you there.
Yeah. Can't get in trouble for that.
That's right. Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, our Gen Xers, not just the pop culture and the music and the movies, which, by the way, the movies were so much better as well.
Yes.
But let's talk a little bit about some of the retirement planning questions that us Xers should be asking. You know, so it is different than the boomer conversation. You know, you could go with the easy stuff. Well, how much do I need to have saved to retire? Because now we're not talking about being retired yet. We're still got, I mean, I'm 52. I still got, you know, at least, let's just call it a little less than 20 years to go, right? So where should you be? Maybe you feel like you're asking that question. Where should I be at 50?
Yeah, you know, where we are right now is we're still going up the mountain. But we're kind of in that retirement red zone where we're like, we better start making some moves now.
Starts getting a little more serious, yeah.
Yes. We're actually looking at our Social Security statements.
Yeah, no, right? Which is weird. Between that and the AARP thing showing up in your email,
oh my gosh.
Or you're like, what?
I just got a thing in the mail, you know, renew your subscription. I'm like, oh, geez.
Yeah, I know. I saw that and I was like, get out. I'm not even messing with you.
But
I do agree. Like, you know, I've said before, I think I've said it on here that, you know, technically Memorial Day is not the kickoff to summer, right? Summer's not till like, what, June 21st or something like that. Right. But I think, you know, everybody kind of universally treats Memorial Day weekend as the kickoff, the unofficial kickoff to summertime, right? Mm-hmm. And I think 50 kind of feels that same way about retirement. Yes, it is not retirement age, but it's kind of like the kickoff to, oh, I better get my crap together.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about that age, but yeah, it kind of. Maybe it's the AARP stuff that keeps coming in the mail.
I don't know. Maybe. So how do we know if we're on track? So what's some things we can think about?
You know, you got to remember retirement is about income, not necessarily about assets. We're just trying to replace the paycheck that we're going to be.
So chasing the $1 million portfolio or the $1 million 401k is not maybe as big a deal as they made it out to be?
Yeah, because I mean, if you've got a nice pension from work and you've got Social Security coming in, and it's taking care of your basic retirement needs and it's going up with inflation,
right?
Then you don't need as much assets as somebody who has no pension and has very little Social Security, right?
Mm-hmm. So true.
And you know, the thing with savings is twofold. Is number one is how do we actually need, or I should say, how much do I need to have saved to actually retire? That's a question that I get a lot in my seminars and webinars. And I said, you know, it really depends on how much you're spending. So if you're spending $5,000 a month, that's going to look different than someone who's spending $15,000 a month or wants to spend $15,000 a month in retirement.
Right.
So, you know, there's the CFPs are trained to provide a calculation and say, hey, this is how much you need if you're spending X amount, and they're going to adjust it for inflation. And then if we, when we get to that big number, I don't know, $1 million, $2 million, whatever that number is based on your spending, then we can show you how much you need to put away every year or every month. That's part and parcel of the CFP education. So if you're working with a CFP professional, they should be able to do that on their either on their software, or we're trained to do it on the old school way on our HP calculators.
You mean you're not using an abacus?
No, that would be the generation prior to me.
That'd be two generations prior, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, so one of the big things that you might find yourself asking if you're 50, 52, 55, whatever is, man, I started late or I'm way behind. I just know it. So, you know, how do I catch up? And there's a couple of things. I mean, the government, in their graciousness, did do a couple of little things called catch-up contributions. There's a few places where we can put a little bit more away. I'll let you explain some of that. But what else? You know, what are some other ways that if we feel like we're behind?
You know, there's, you know, with your 401ks and your qualified plans, right, defined contribution plans, you can only put away so much. For example, in your 401k this year in 2024, you can defer $23,000. And if you're 50 and older, then it's an extra $7,500 catch-up contribution. And then your employer can kick in. But the limits on that is $69,000 for the year, not including the $7,500 catch-up. So, but employers are really not that generous. Okay, you're not going to see $69,000 going into your 401k. I seriously doubt it. Now, some employers are, and God bless you if you work for somebody like that. But generally speaking, that's not usually the case. So, you know, there's a couple of things that you can do. One of the most popular things for business owners, and I'm talking about, oh, these are the medical professionals or the legal professionals who are in their 50s now, and they have kind of, you know, ramped up their career and they're making a very good living, and putting away $30,500 a year, it's not going to move the needle much. So there are plans out there where we can stack on top of that. You can put, you know, $100,000, $150,000, $200,000 away on a tax deferred basis and a tax advantage basis. So those plans are really neat. And I think people, especially business owners, should look into that.
Okay, so let's talk about balancing that, also that kind of point where we're at in life as a Gen Xer, where maybe you're trying to balance saving for the financial future, paying off the house, maybe finishing with some of the kids' education stuff. It feels daunting.
It does. And, you know, I was just leading a Bible study for my church, and it was on stewardship and saving and, you know, basic finances. And, you know, the one thing that I would stress to them and to everybody else really is, if you're not saving the kind of money that you want to save, you really have to go on some sort of a automated plan, a auto deduction plan. So if you think about it, like when we do our 401ks, we don't even think about it. They just jack it out of our paychecks. We don't even get a chance to spend it. And that's what I do for my savings personally, is it just gets pulled. It's not a push out of my checking account. It's a pull out of my checking account. So they just take it out of there, and that's the money that I save on an after-tax basis. You got to have some sort of plan, and it's really nice because you just need to set it up once, and it's like that Ron Popeil, I think is what it called, the set it and forget it. I forget what that oven was, but you set it and forget it. And also the same thing with debt, right? You just have to have some sort of a plan and say, hey, look, this is how much extra I'm going to pay off or whatever. But, you know, if you want to do that, it all starts back with your cash flow statement, your income statement, and your balance sheet. So those are the two fundamental things that you really should have.
Yeah, for sure.
To start to plan.
Okay. Well, and you're probably starting to feel like, I don't know about you, you know, John, but now that I'm 52, I'm not jumping on the skateboard like I did, you know, at 25 or whatever. So I'm taking less risks in a lot of different ways. And it's probably starting to hit you a little bit too in the wallet or in the portfolio mindset when you get 50, you know, and you get to this Gen X, if you're a Gen X, or you start kind of thinking, yeah, all right, maybe I shouldn't be swinging for the fences as much.
Yeah, I mean, the traditional way is equities and fixed income or stocks versus bonds, right? You have a 70-30 portfolio, for example. So that would be 70% in stocks and 30% in bonds. I think that's a little bit old school to me. And I definitely you should have equities, but at least for the fixed income part of it, the bond part of it, there are so much better investment vehicles out there that offer some sort of protection, that offer some sort of income. And I really think that, you know, investors should look into other bond alternatives. Not so much equity alternatives, but bond alternatives that kind of act as a hybrid between stocks and bonds. And, and those I think are nice.
Well, I think I've got one final one, maybe two. We'll see here where we're at. But I think if you are fortunate enough or you're thinking that you might need to retire early or want to retire early, obviously being a Gen Xer, you've got more time to start planning on that than if you were a boomer and decided, hey, I want to retire next year, you know, or something like that. But I mean, early as in not like 62, right? So which is first where we can first turn on Social Security. But for people who feel like, you know, they've got 58 or 60 on their radar to retire early, what are some things to take real serious here?
I think a lot of people... one of the things that I hear most often is healthcare, because there's that gap because you can't do Medicare until you're 65.
Right. And that could be costly. We're talking 5 years if you go at 60, right? So,
Yeah. And you know, you can, if you're, what is it? You know, 63 and a half, you can do COBRA if you've got a large company plan. But with respect to retiring early, again, that depends on how much assets you've saved up and how much income can your portfolio generate in a safe manner. And, you know, it's just about running the numbers with your financial professional to see if you can quote unquote retire. And I don't know, Mark, I don't know many people that retire at 60 and just do nothing. They either consult a little bit or they get some sort of a part-time gig or a side gig or something like that. And that really helps with taking pressure off of your portfolio.
Yeah. And many of us have to do that, especially with inflation being the way that it's gotten and so on and so forth. But I think if you are seriously thinking about retiring early, it's certainly worthwhile to think about, you know, having the same amount of money that you thought you needed or whatever the math you were doing back of the napkin or whatever. It's maybe not a bad idea when retiring early to try to add to that as much as possible, I think, especially with just the rise of cost and everything. Because, you know, you don't want to go back to work, ideally, if you go into retirement at 58 or 60, and next thing you know, you're 72 and funds are getting low, it's probably not going to be on your radar to want to go back.
Yeah, and you know what? Retirement's a different game. You have to have a spending plan. That's when you're coming down the mountain, and you really should know. And that part's going to be really difficult to do without a financial advisor. Now, you can go up the mountain without a financial advisor. I'm just telling you, you could. Again, I might get a lot of hate mail for that, for saying that, but you can, you know, put away money. You can, you know, just worst comes to worst, just throw everything into the S&P 500.
Well, yeah, accumulation is much easier than preservation.
Yeah. That you can do. Coming down the mountain, when you have tax strip wires, you've got sequence of returns risks, you've got, you know, longevity risks, you got long-term care things that you need to think about, you've got different portfolio risks. It's, you need financial planner with software, with good software that will allow you to understand what your cash flows are going to be year after year, how much from what account and what year are we taking the money out. So you got to know that.
Exactly. And you got to know the things that you need to have in place for getting ready for retirement. So at what stage, you know, are you at, depending on your age bracket, depending on your tolerance and how you feel about things, probably still a good age to reach out and start having those conversations about retirement and things to think on. So as always, we appreciate your time here on the podcast. Don't forget to reach out to John if you've got some questions about how to get some of these things in place, about how to start lining up and getting your ducks in a row. You can find him online at johnchoy.net. That's johnchoy, C-H-O-I.net. He's a certified financial planner and an instructor for the CFP program and president at Epiphany Capital. and he's here to help. So reach out, get yourself a little time on the calendar, book a call online. You can check the show notes for the description for a link there. And again, or go to johnchoy.net. John, thanks for hanging out, my friend, and breaking out this demographic. Should we do the millennials next time?
I think that'd be a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get to the, we'll do another podcast on a different topic. Then we'll hit the millennials after that, just to kind of break it up and get you guys coming back for more. So thanks for hanging out with us here on Middle Class Millionaire. We'll see you next time.
Epiphany Capital is a registered investment advisor, RIA, located in the state of Illinois. Epiphany Capital provides investment advisory and related services for clients nationally. Epiphany Capital will maintain all applicable registration and licenses as required by various states in which Epiphany Capital conducts business, as applicable. Epiphany Capital renders individualized responses to persons in a particular state only after complying with all regulatory requirements or pursuant to an applicable state exemption or exclusion.